Wednesday on Current State means Neighbors in Action, when we feature people and organizations working to make Greater Lansing a better place. Today we welcome back to the program CASA for Kids of Eaton and Barry County, which provides volunteer advocates for kids in family court. To learn more about the program, earlier this week I talked with Executive Director Becky Carson and volunteer advocate Delia Underwood. Becky told me that court-appointed special advocates, or CASAs, are assigned to kids or sibling groups by family court judges to be a voice for those kids in the legal process.
What they do is they visit the child on a regular basis, which is weekly, and then they would communicate with the child, develop a relationship with the child to determine what their needs are, as well as talking to foster parents, relatives, teachers, attending case-related meetings so that they understand the child's needs and what is in the child's best interest. The volunteer then advocates with the court, so they submit a court report and attend court hearings, which are quarterly for children in foster care, to advocate for their best interest and to support the court as well as the Department of Health and Human Services to ensure that their needs are met and that the right things happen for kids in the foster care system.
Delia, what made you want to get involved with this organization?
I was looking for an opportunity to help be a tool in providing justice for children who had been abused and or neglected. And so CASA was just the absolute perfect match for that.
Becky, I'm wondering, describe for us a little bit more about a CASA's role actually in the courtroom. How much interaction does a CASA have with an attorney or a judge?
You know, their communications with attorneys can be on an ongoing basis. Prior to hearings, depending on the needs of the case, sometimes volunteers will have interaction with the attorneys to talk with them about what the child needs, specifically usually the guardian ad litem, to help advocate for what is needed for the child. In terms of in the courtroom, the volunteers submit a court report for each hearing, and it's a relatively short report, but it goes to all parties. And so that's information that all of the attorneys, as well as the judge or referee, has available. And it helps the judge and referee ensure that they're making the right decisions for children.
We're talking to CASA for Kids of Eaton and Barry Counties, an organization that assigns volunteer advocates for children in the foster care and family court system. Our guest today, Executive Director for CASA for Kids, Becky Carson, and volunteer advocate Delia Underwood. Delia, talk to us a little bit about the training process for volunteers like you. What kinds of things do you have to learn before you actually start working with these kids?
So part of the 40 hours of training that CASA provides is 30 hours of observation and 10 hours in courtroom. And so we actually had an opportunity to do case studies where we went through various scenarios and we were asked, you know, what would you do here? What types of things would you look for when you enter into the homes? How can you provide the most effective type of court reports? It was also really beneficial to get to understand which agencies we may be working with and to really understand what they call the wraparound approach, where we are able to contact and reach out to the schools or the child care providers. And the main objective here is that we walk with these children. We're the one consistent figure that they see on a weekly basis. In doing so, we want to make sure that we're able to provide the most objective information and then also convey the child's wishes.
So on a weekly visit then, Delia, what's that like?
So after the introduction, the first visit where I explain to the CASA child who I am and what I'm here to do to help them to understand this new person that's going to be in their lives on a weekly basis for quite some time, we basically, for instance, might talk about how things are going in school. I might have an opportunity to see not just their report card, but their progress report. And when I look at this type of thing, you know, I'm not necessarily saying to the child, like asking them a ton of questions, but I'm able to observe whether or not there's been a lot of truancies or absences, how their grades are, you know, if they're pretty stable, if they've increased or decreased. It kind of gives me more insight into what's going on with them. They're also able to communicate to me if there are any concerns, if they want to return home, or if there's something else going on. I'm also able to answer questions about what's next. A lot of times the kids, you know, they want to know, when do I get to go home, or we're going to go to court soon. They just don't know. So it's an opportunity to help them to understand what's next.
How tight does this bond get? I would imagine it can get very tight.
You know, yeah. The interesting thing about CASA is that children in the foster care system have a lot of loss. They have a lot of relationship loss, a lot of transition. They've lost their biological family. They've been placed in a foster home or relative placement. Oftentimes, children in the foster care system move from place to place as well. And so they have additional losses if they're moved from one placement to another. Frequently, because the child welfare system is a difficult field, they may have multiple different caseworkers during the time that they're in foster care. Most children are in foster care for a year, year and a half at least. So during that time, one of the values of the CASA program is that the volunteer is a consistent person in that child's life. That is one of the main goals for CASA, is to have a relationship with a child that is able to extend for the duration of the case, so that they get to develop a rapport with that person. That person usually does things with the child that they enjoy doing. So it does become a relationship in many cases that the child really values. While they're serving with CASA, their role is very clear as an advocate for the child. However, after the case closes, wherever the child ends up, if it's an adoptive home or return to the family, that family has the ability to decide whether the advocate is able to continue having some type of relationship with the child afterwards, which is different than in a more professional caseworker type role. That is usually something that terminates when a court case closes.
Becky, what kinds of interactions do advocates have with the parents of the children?
With biological parents, it depends on the case. We have an increasing amount of cases where there is in-home court jurisdiction, which means that there have been found some abuse and neglect, but it's not at a level that DHS and the courts determined that the child needed to be removed from that home. In those cases, there are court-ordered services for the parents to address the issue. So if the parent was a substance abuser, they may have drug screens and substance abuse treatment. So if they're cooperating with services to address the issues, then that child may be still in that home. So in those cases, the volunteer would have quite a bit of interaction with the parent, because the child would be placed with the parent. If the child has been removed from their biological parents and placed in a foster home or a relative placement, then the volunteer's primary interactions are with the placement family. However, they would observe visitation with biological parents. So they would want to be able to see the bond that's between the children and the parents, and also communicate with the parents about maybe what they feel their child needs, because that's important to hear from biological parents as well. A lot of times we've had volunteers. Delia has a case in particular where the volunteer was pretty integral in being a support to the parent after the child was returned home.
My next question for you, Delia, was if you could talk about a particular child or a particular moment that really made a big impact on you.
With the first case, I had a little girl. She actually turned 4 during the time that I was her volunteer, CASA, and she was returned home. Prior to being returned home, she was actually in a temporary foster care with grandparents. And so she was seeing her mom, but she wasn't staying overnight. It got to the point where the court decided, okay, she's going to be returning home. And so she returned home, but she was testing the waters. There was a little anger there with the mom here and there. The father, for instance, might tell the little girl to sit down and she would sit right down. But if the mom says sit down, she would be like, well. And it got more serious, though. There was a specific instance where the little girl absolutely refused to obey her mom, pulling her mom's hair, cursing at her, you know, scratching her little fist so tiny, but she, you know, she still punched with everything she had, and she screamed at the top of her lungs, and her mom was beyond embarrassed and horrified, and she really didn't want me to leave. And as a CASA, my primary interest is the child's well-being. Mm-hmm. So there was no way I was going to leave, and the mom actually asked me to stay, and she wanted to make sure that she was going to handle the situation right. You know, the child had just been returned home, and so she was, you know, really appreciative of having a CASA available to stay. And I'm going to call it a super temper tantrum, lasted over 30 minutes, to the point where the child's voice kind of started to dwindle out there.
Oh,
and she eventually stayed in timeout, which was her bedroom. But it was after, you know, the mom was saying, you know, she's like, I don't believe in spanking and I don't know what to do. And it was an awesome opportunity to step in and say, hey, you know, you're actually doing a great job. Just stay consistent and, you know, using that low tone of voice and reassuring your child that, hey, I love you. And I just need you to stay in timeout and do what mom has asked. You know, that tone of voice and that consistency is going to go a long way, because if you pull back now, it might get worse later. And so she was like, okay, yeah, so I'm going along, I'm doing this right. She maintained that consistency, and eventually the child, you know, stopped hitting her and screaming and running out of timeout. She came out of her room and she said, Mommy, I'm sorry. And they hugged, and it was a breakthrough moment for that family. And as a CASA, it was awesome to be able to witness that.
Hmm. What do you find most rewarding about the work that you do, Becky?
My experience prior to being involved with CASA is I worked residential for 18 years. And one thing that I've learned about children in the foster care system is relationships are huge. Attachment issues, loss, all of those things are very significant things for children in the foster care system. And it's the relationships that make a difference.
CASA for Kids has a big fundraiser coming up this week. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. It's our fourth annual Casa Blanca Gala. It is a community awareness event as well as a recognition event. We recognize our volunteers and other human service providers in that event. There will be a dinner, speakers, and then there's silent auction, portrait photographs. There's a lot of different activities that are going on for the evening. So we're excited about the event and looking forward to a great evening.
We've been talking with Becky Carson, Executive Director of CASA for Kids of Eaton County, and Delia Underwood, a volunteer with the program. Again, CASA for Kids will be hosting its fourth annual Casa Blanca Gala at the Grand Ledge Opera House tomorrow evening from 6 to 9. Thanks to both of you for joining us today, and good luck at the gala.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Current State is looking for more nominations for Neighbors in Action. Help us out. Email us your suggestions to currentstate@wkar.org. Please put Neighbors in Action in the subject line or tweet us at KAR Current State. Tell us a little about why you think they should be featured for the great work they do.